Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Putting plants over people. Boy, have we seen that on the ground here in Montana. Not only putting plants over people, putting wolves over people, putting grizzlies over people. And even when there's a huge number of wolves, even when there's a huge number of grizzlies, they still keep putting predators over people, plants over people, you name it. Hey, Aaron Flint, great to be back in studio here on this Monday. We've got a great guest who's going to be joining us here in just a couple of minutes after the first break this morning. How California environmental rules turned a small fire into an L.A. inferno. This is a piece written by Sean Regan. Sean Regan used to be with PERC in Bozeman, still lives in Bozeman, but he's now a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and also writes for the City Journal newsletter on Substack. It was a piece that he wrote for the City Journal several days ago that first caught my eye. Firefighters could have prevented the LA wildfires, but California rules made them save plants instead. And he's got a similar piece that just published at foxnews.com, I think just heading into the weekend, or maybe it was Friday morning while we were broadcasting live from Malta. Here's the opening paragraph. 1 year ago this week, the Palisades Fire erupted in the hills above Los Angeles, killing a dozen people and destroying nearly 7,000 homes and businesses. It became L.A.'s worst urban wildfire catastrophe. Governor Gavin Newsom blamed climate change, but evidence now emerging from lawsuits filed on behalf of victims tells a different story, one in which California's own environmental policies helped transform a tiny, containable brush fire into an inferno. Federal investigators have determined that the Palisades fire was a holdover fire, a rekindling of a small brush fire on New Year's Eve that firefighters quickly contained. For 6 days, the fire smoldered underground in root systems on state parkland, waiting for the Santa Ana winds to arrive. When they did, the results were catastrophic. And then this is the key part of this Fox News piece here. Why wasn't the fire fully extinguished? And why did no one monitor the burn scar as the National Weather Service issued its most extreme fire danger warnings? The answer lies in California State Park's own policies. Policies that, according to court filings, put plants over people. Anyway, we've got Sean Regan, who's going to be with us here coming up after the break to talk about that story and more. Plus, I know you've got some questions, so you'll be able to jump in on the conversation as well. In fact, I've already got some good questions that are coming in from some of our listeners and on the Montana Talks app, et cetera. Because the other question I have is, okay, it's been a year. How many homes have they built, or how many homes have they not built, frankly? For Pete's sake, right? But it is California. This is California we're talking about. Gavin Newsom's California at that. All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll have Sean Regan coming up after this, and then I think we've got Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana later in the hour. Former University of Montana constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson joining us in the 9 o'clock hour.
It's January 12th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's time for a little international flavor as we celebrate National Curry Chicken Day. Now, when making real curry chicken, don't automatically grab for the curry powder. Real curry chicken is stewed in a sauce of ghee, or clarified butter, onion, garlic, an array of spices and chilies, and then served over rice. Few things are more delicious. Also on this date, Timely Comics was founded by publisher Martin Goodman in 1939. It would later become a little company called Marvel. And in 1991, the U.S. Congress granted the authority to the 41st President George Herbert Walker Bush to wage war against Iraq and end their illegal occupation of neighboring Kuwait. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the king of all media, radio personality Howard Stern, born in 1954. And the man who founded Amazon, Jeff Bezos, born in 1964. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, great to have Sean Regan now with us. He was always very good to talk to when he was at PERC, always was doing some interesting research, and now he's with the Manhattan Institute but still lives here in Bozeman, Montana. Sean, great to catch up with you. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
So, well, first off, tell us what all you've been up to at the Manhattan Institute before we dive into these California scheming.
Yeah, well, the Manhattan Institute, for folks don't know, is a national public policy think tank. It's a community of researchers and journalists and activists that are really dedicated to advancing individual liberty and opportunity and the rule of law in America. And, you know, I'm based here in Montana, really focused on a lot of the Western issues. And, you know, so related to what we're going to talk about today in California, but, you know, looking at, of course, issues in Montana and throughout the Intermountain West as well.
Yeah. Before we get into the plants over people angle, because I already kind of, you know, got into that a little bit with by reading a couple of portions of your piece at foxnews.com. You've also looked into the rebuilding, or shall we say the lack of rebuilding. I mean, it's over 1 year since the Palisades fire in Los Angeles. How many homes have they still refused to rebuild in Los Angeles?
Well, it's funny, Aaron, because, you know, after a disaster like this, right, you have the politicians like Mayor Bass in Los Angeles, and you have Governor Gavin Newsom, who are out there pledging, you know, we're going to cut red tape, we're going to streamline the process for rebuilding, we're going to cut through all of this, you know, environmental regulation and the things that just, you know, slow down so many things in California. And they pledged,
Fox,
you know,
News
we're going to make this a fast process. And Mayor Bass in particular said, you know, 30 days or less, we're going to review these building permits, and we're going to, you know, be able to move forward quickly. And as you said, here we are now, just over a year after these devastating fires, and almost, you know, almost nothing has been officially approved. It's funny. There was a few months ago, the mayor came out with this press release saying, "Hey, we've built the first home." Well, it turns out it wasn't actually a real home. It was a spec home that was approved before the fire burned, and the fire. It was slated for demolition, and they were going to rebuild this as a spec home. Well, the fire did the demolition, and then they built the home, and it's not even a real home. And so she's out there sending this press release saying, "Hey, we're making such progress." They've now, I think, approved their first official home, but that's it. I mean, we're still so far away from the promises that were made in terms of really being able to rebuild in a timely manner.
Yeah, that's just crazy to me. I remember reading as recently as, what, just a few weeks ago, that not even one home had been rebuilt. Now you're telling us, what, one is officially slated to allowed to be rebuilt? I just couldn't imagine if that type of devastation occurred. And then, I mean, in Montana, it's like you would already, I mean, even as strained as our housing system is in Montana right now, you would see a faster rebuilding effort very clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so, you know, it's not surprising, right? In California, you've got all of these regulations that make everything difficult. And even when the politicians try to, you know, cut some of that red tape, there's still so much more to get through.
Some of the, I don't know if you've heard some of the, you know, theories or the conspiracy theories that are out there. Tamara in Billings called me and she says, "Hey, can you ask Mr. Regan, you know, that one theory out there is, well, Gavin Newsom and the liberals in California, they just allowed these homes to burn because they want the property for their multi-billion-dollar boondoggle high rail system." And then Cameron in Billings sent us a message on the Montana Talks app and said, "Well, there's also a theory out there that they want the land for infrastructure for the Olympics." Have you looked into any of these conspiracy theories? What have you seen or found or not found?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't examined those specific claims. I had a piece, I encourage folks if they're interested to check out City Journal, which is the publication that we put out at the Manhattan Institute. I had a piece a few weeks ago on the rebuilding progress in LA, if folks want to take a look, where I look at these, you know, what was promised in terms of, you know, these commitments from Mayor Bass and from Governor Gavin Newsom in terms of rebuilding, and what has actually happened since then. And yeah, there's a lot to look at there. I haven't looked at those specific claims, but again, they're still so far off from any progress there in getting folks back into their homes there.
And now the research that you've done, and you documented this in the City Journal, you write about it at FoxNews.com as well. I mean, plants over people. Apparently, as you dug into the official policies back there in California, very clearly their policies choose plants over people. Oh, are you still there? Did we lose you, Sean? I know sometimes this Teams can be a little finicky on Microsoft Teams for us here. Yeah, we might have just lost him temporarily there. I'm not hearing Sean Regan. Okay, tell you what, Caden, if you can jump on Teams there with Sean, have him just call our studio phone line instead. Because he's going to be with us till 35 after. So plants over people, we'll get to that angle in a little more detail with Sean Regan from the Manhattan Institute. He's based in Bozeman coming up after the break. Yeah, and then, of course, blame climate change. You know, we even had former State Senator John Brendan out of Scobie. Do you guys remember when he produced a song based off of our request? You know, we were thinking it kind of a spinoff of Team America, Blame Canada. And we said, use the Blame Canada theme, but make the song Blame Climate Change. You know, blaming climate change is the new my dog ate my homework excuse. So they have to blame climate change on everything. Well, it is very clear this fire was arson and failed policies at the local level. But, of course, Newsom wants to blame climate change.
The week ahead.
Monday, it's a busy week for the Supreme Court. They'll hear arguments on a case that will decide whether an oil company being sued in state court can transfer its case to federal court. Tuesday, back to the Supreme Court for what many are calling one of the biggest arguments of this term, transgender sports. The case centers on whether states can require athletes to compete based on their biological sex and not their gender identity under the 14th Amendment. There's another case on whether states can assign a person to a sports team based on their biological sex. Wednesday, the Internal Revenue Service says businesses can begin filing tax returns electronically and voting ends for the 2026 NBA All-Star Game. Thursday, Google will stop scanning for new dark web breaches ahead of the killing of the service altogether next month. Friday, a quick history lesson. This day, back in 1991, President George H.W. Bush announced the start of Operation Desert Storm. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Sean Regan from the Manhattan Institute. Before we get to the blame climate change angle, Sean, tell us what you were able to document, what you were able to dig up when it comes to California's own policies that basically chose plants over people.
Yeah, well, as everyone knows, these devastating wildfires last year in Los Angeles, you know, just truly, truly catastrophic. And as I dug into kind of understanding what went wrong, you know, I don't know if folks have followed this closely, but, you know, what we've learned is that the Palisades fire in particular was not a new fire. This was a reignition of an earlier fire that started on New Year's Eve. It was a small 8-acre containable brush fire. Firefighters contained it within hours. But what we've learned as part of our investigation is that California's environmental policies basically ensured that it was never fully extinguished, never properly monitored. And it was left to smolder for 6 days on state park land that hadn't burned in half a century. And these Santa Ana winds were forecasted to come through just days later. And as the story goes, you know, that turned it into Los Angeles's worst urban wildfire catastrophe. And as we dug into this, it was really these environmental policies that, you know, prevented firefighters from doing the work of putting out this fire and left it to smolder and turn into this catastrophe.
And it was arson. I think the last I saw, unless they've updated that, it was arson, or either way, whatever caused the fire, that's not what caused it to go out of control. They basically allowed it to go out of control.
Yeah, exactly. It was an arson fire on
young man foolishly started a fire. But again, this was a fire that was containable. It was declared fully contained by the next morning, a few hours later. And, you know, what we found as part of this investigation is text messages from State Park employees that show that they were actively, you know, trying to protect endangered plants and archaeological sites and preventing, this is a claim that is being put forth in this lawsuit on behalf of fire victims, but preventing the LA Fire Department from doing their work of actually, you know, putting out this fire. And so, you know, what you do when you have a fire like this, right, is you dig containment lines. You might get a bulldozer up there to dig a containment line. You ensure that the fire is fully extinguished. And then you do mop up, which means you go through and you put out all the fire, make sure all the hot spots are out. You might even, you know, use your hands to make sure there's no more hot spots on the ground before you leave the fire. Well, in this case, they didn't do hardly any of that. They had crews digging small hand lines. They wouldn't let a bulldozer get up there because they were concerned about impacts to endangered plants and cultural sites. And Aaron, this is, you know, even just ridiculous, is they even had the firefighters the next day cover back up the containment lines with the brush that they had just cleared to essentially undo the fire suppression that they had done in the first place. And keep in mind, all of this is there's these forecasted dangerous, you know, Santa Ana winds, high fire danger conditions coming just a few days later. And State Park still had these policies to inhibit and restrict firefighting operations. And that is that's what's come to light recently that caused this fire to reignite on January 7th.
Well, and let's take some of our listeners back to 1 year ago. And the scene, you know, the backdrop too here was LA Mayor Karen Bass. They knew that they had high winds in the forecast. They knew they had dangerous, bad conditions in the forecast. And yet she took off for some junket to Africa, right? And then she had all these woke fire chiefs. Now, I know your other colleagues at the Manhattan Institute cover all the woke transgender crazy stories of the day and everything, but it's probably safe to say that you cover the woke land management policies, right? You know, the ESG style land management policies. And so, but now you've got, you know, Mayor Mamdani of New York City is following the same woke playbook. I think he chose a new fire chief that doesn't even have fire background simply because she checks the LGBTQ checkbox.
Right. And it goes beyond L.A., Aaron. In this case, what we've uncovered is that, you know, because people have been asking, why did the L.A. Fire Department pull off this fire so quickly? And there's even some evidence that some of the firefighters there were concerned about being pulled off this fire because they were concerned that it was still smoldering. And what we found is these policies extend to Gavin Newsom's California Department of State Parks, which had an unreleased document. This has only come to light recently as part of this lawsuit. Is an unreleased wildfire management plan that says that State Parks prefers to let Topanga State Park burn in a wildfire event. Now, keep in mind, this is not some wilderness area that's, you know, hundreds of miles from an urban area. This is the wildland-urban interface, right on the border of a heavily populated area. And the park's policy was that they preferred to let the park burn in a wildfire event. And not only that, they had these secret maps called that had avoidance areas where these endangered plants and cultural sites, where the state parks employees were supposed to restrict firefighting operations. So again, why did this fire rekindle? It was because we had these policies at the state level that prevented firefighters from even going in and doing their job.
And yet some people think that Gavin Newsom could be the Democrat presidential candidate in 2028 after all of the failures there. It's crazy. I mentioned getting an earlier phone call from Tamara in Billings, with a question about these L.A. fires. But I told Tamara, I said, hey, call in when Sean Regan's on because I won't be able to ask the full question as well as you can. We do have Tamara back on the phone lines. Tamara, what else did you want to ask Sean Regan here? And thanks for calling in.
Well, I know these 15-minute cities have been the news off and on for years because China's been working hard at it. And then I'm seeing these communist, socialist, globalist monsters trying to work on that in the States. And then it kind of went quiet. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on, you know, reason why they're making it really hard for them to rebuild their houses. They want that stretch for that train so they can continue to still try to create 15-minute city.
That's right. That was the other angle to your question, Tamara. Thanks for calling back in. Yeah, Sean, I mean, there's a lot of leftists who, you know, they never want to let a crisis go to waste. They will leverage a crisis to usher in what they really want. And, you know, there were some nice houses there. And these socialists don't, I mean, they think they should live in nice houses, but they don't think you should live in nice houses.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. And I think one of the things I'm just continually shocked by in California is the inability to get, you know, anything built, right? And so, you know, we talked earlier about just rebuilding the existing houses. I mean, you've got homeowners there who don't, they just want to build the same exact house on the same plot of land as they had before. Not something new, not expanding it, you know, just build the same house, right? And even that, amid California's bureaucracies, you know, with such red tape, is a multi-year process with endless fees and all sorts of things that just slow the process down, right? And so California can't even get the basic stuff done. I think that, you know, when it comes to some of these bigger proposals about expanding rail lines and things like that, I mean, just look at what this high-speed rail stuff in California, I mean, they've spent billions of dollars on this stuff. And basically no track has been laid.
Nothing.
And so I just don't underestimate the you know, the inability of California to actually, you know, they may have these intentions, but that in terms of on the ground, they just can't get stuff done.
Yeah, you know, there's been lots of talk and some excitement for potentially building, getting the southern route for Amtrak up and running in Montana again, you know, along, you know, Bozeman, Billings, Butte, Missoula, just like we have Amtrak that goes all the way across the High Line on Highway 2 from Culbertson to Whitefish. And I wonder how many southern routes you could have paid for with the billions that they just straight up wasted without even laying a track in California. That'd be another topic for another day. The other angle here is, of course, they just want to blame climate change. They allow these crises to happen, and then they just want to blame climate change. It's the dog ate my homework excuse for everything. If I could get Barry Weiss and the new CBS to do a story, I want them to come to Glacier National Park and tell everybody about why the glaciers are melting climate predictions were so wrong and so off, and let the world know that, because CBS did this big climate change piece, what, over a decade ago, why don't they come back for a follow-up and talk about how wrong these predictions were? But just talk about the blame climate change crowd and never letting a crisis go to waste.
Well, yeah, and you remember, Aaron, this is back in 2018 when during Trump's first administration, when devastating wildfires in California, and Trump and Newsom were feuding over, you know, we got to clean the forest floors and rake Trump said we need to rake the forest, right? And Newsom said, no, you know, you don't believe in climate change. It's really all about climate change. I would say, you know, one encouraging thing from this is I think you actually see some recognition in California. We're starting to get recognition about the need for forest management.
Yeah.
And the state has put forth these pledges and said, hey, we're going to go in and we're going to do 500,000 acres each year of fuel treatment to reduce fire risk. That's great when you pledge that, but I have a piece coming out tomorrow in City Journal that assesses, well, how much progress has the state actually made towards those targets? And not surprisingly, they're pretty far off. Oh. And it's for the same reasons, right? You've got a tangle of bureaucracy and red tape that slows these projects down.
So even when you can finally convince them that we need to rebuild houses, hey, we need to rake the forest or whatever you want to call it, they'll say, oh, yeah, we agree, we need to do it. Getting them to do it is a totally different story. Yeah, that's a good point, though, that you make, that at least in rhetoric, you know, some California Democrats are finally coming to the table. I think that's why, you know, Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy is being successful in getting bipartisan wildfire reform legislation done in a bipartisan manner, is because, you know, Californians at least have to admit the first step of the process here that they have a problem. Sean Regan, find him on the City Journal. He's with the Manhattan Institute and he's based in Bozeman. Sean, great to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Aaron.
All right, appreciate it. Quick break here on Montana Talks. And, yeah, by the way, Sean, too, if you ever have big stories like this again, yeah, reach out to us, because always love to get your insight on this stuff. All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. You can message us on the Montana Talks app. In the meantime, stand by.
Securing America.
Fox's Brett Baer recently spoke with Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Darrell Caudle and Marine Commandant General Eric Smith about America's renewed focus on naval shipbuilding. Admiral Caudle says the reinvestment is necessary.
When you want to deter conflict, you have to have capability. It's got to be present. It's got to be on the battlefield.
General Smith says that is extremely challenging when it comes to shipbuilding because
there's no shipbuilders left in America. There's welders, pipe fitters, steam fitters. And if there's not steady work for them in the shipyards, they'll go elsewhere.
He adds,
can't buy back those employees once they go to work for Tesla or Ford Motor Company.
Admiral Caudle says any difficulties must be overcome due to this principle.
To be a great superpower, we have to be a great sea power.
He also criticizes those claiming a rise in defense spending is not necessary.
It is expensive, but the alternative is much more expensive.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we have the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Kat in eastern Montana, great to hear from you. What's on your mind here on this Monday morning?
Well, good morning, Aaron, and thank you to our veterans, and hello, Montana. So I wanted to call in just really quick to let people know there are rumors circulating all online, seeing it all this morning, about how Steve Daines is supposed to be voting no and against the SAVE Act, which is a national eligibility act for voters, basically requiring proof of citizenship and making it a little bit more difficult, right, for voter fraud. So, of course, I called Steve Daines' office, and I said, whoa, what's going on here, right? But in actuality, the truth is that Steve Daines actually co-sponsored that bill. So big round of applause to Steve Daines for doing that. And I wanted to just get in front of those rumors and let your audience know that, in fact, Steve wants election integrity. So thank you, Steve Daines, for that. And really, Aaron, that's all I have to say. So God bless you and God bless Montana.
Hey, yeah, God bless you as well. No, and thanks for calling in. Yeah, I guess I didn't really check X too much here over the past couple of hours. I did a brief check-in earlier. But and hats off to you, by the way, as well, because so many people will just read something on Twitter, read something on X, they'll see something on Facebook, and then they'll get all fired up. I can't believe so-and-so is doing, you know, and then they grab the pitchforks and then they want to go, you know, protest outside the courthouse. And it's like, actually, no, he supports the SAVE Act, which is basically a bill aimed at requiring proof of U.S. citizenship for voter registration in federal elections, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while since I've been reading the latest updates on the SAVE Act. So, yeah, no, hats off to you, Kat, for, hey, let me go get the facts here, get the real story. That's great. Let's see. Send Mike in Big Timber to us. I think he's next up on the phone lines here. Always great to hear from Mike. Mike, what's going on? What'd you think of our chat with Sean Regan a few minutes ago?
Excellent, as a matter of fact, and it reminded me of fires in 88 at Yellowstone Park when I was waiting tables there. It was a let-it-burn policy there, Aaron, and all that fire equipment sat in that parking lot, not even moving. It didn't do a darn thing unless a structure was threatened. Once that happened, and if one of the structures, I believe it was West Thumb, then they started to move equipment down there to do the firefighting. But there were crews in there clearing and brush and things like that. But that fire smoldered underground. That's the thing that got me when Sean mentioned that in California. Those lodgepole pines have a very shallow root system. So the fire was moving underground, unbeknownst to the firefighters. Unless you felt that ground or felt the actual tree, because the tree and the inside would burn. The sap would sit there and smolder. Then when that wind kicked up and it was constant, then the fire would flare up again.
Yeah, and you can still see the scars from the fires of 88, right?
Yeah.
Well, look, we talk a lot of politics around here. Remember the fires of 88? You know, that was a big election year that year. And you had a, you know, a young farm broadcaster named Conrad Burns who was hammering that issue and hammering the let it burn approach. And nobody in their right mind thought that some guy who still had cow manure on his boots, a farm broadcaster, some podunk Yellowstone County commissioner was gonna pull off an upset and become a United States senator. But people were furious at that let it burn policy. And that's how Conrad Burns burned his way right into the United States Senate. Mike, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. I got to get to our next guest now with us. Let's see. Go ahead and patch Henry Kriegel through to us. We've got Henry Kriegel, the Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana. In fact, this segment brought to you by AFP Montana, our weekly update here every Monday at this time. Henry, great to have you on the show. What do you got on tap for us today?
Well, we got a few things happening here that are timely and important. First of all, I'm glad to be with you this morning. And, you know, we've got the looming potential of a shutdown on January 30th. It's not likely to happen. We hope it's not going to happen. And it really shouldn't happen, Aaron, because this is something that was concocted by the lawyer for President Jimmy Carter. He created this thing. And all we need to do is pass a simple bill called the Prevent Government Shutdown Act, and we keep the spending levels as they are, keep Congress in session until they come up and work out a budget. We're only talking about 1/4 of all total spending is controlled by the appropriations committees because that's discretionary spending. So it's not that difficult. We waste so much time and energy and resources and public attention, and people suffer as a result of these bogus government shutdowns. Congress just has to do their work, and this bill, the Prevent Government Shutdowns Act, would force them to do it, and that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, something's got to be done because, like you say, I mean, we're already at another funding deadline at the end of this month, and in the United States Senate, Republicans have a majority, but they don't have the 60 votes to break the filibuster, so either they scrap the filibuster and go back to the way the filibuster was originally intended to be carried out, or they got creative with other approaches, because otherwise the Democrats are going to use the power that they have in the Senate to block the Trump administration, block conservatives from getting anything significant done, right?
Well, that's a really good point, Alan. That's very true. 60 votes are needed. We need some adults in the room up there, adults under the dome. I mean, look, Americans are suffering whenever they shut down the government. We waste incredible amounts of human resources and time, and we're losing money when that happens. So let's act like adults. Let's pass the Prevent Government Shutdowns Act, and let's get a real budget done and approved and appropriations. So let's move things forward and tackle some of the bigger problems that are facing America. And among them is our health care situation. You know, we talked about it last week. The COVID-era Obamacare subsidies have expired, and was it $40 billion a year was spent on these subsidies, most of it going to insurance companies, not to help individual taxpayers, but to insurance companies. Costs have gone up, premiums have gone up, and people are now really concerned about being shut out of having any type of health care coverage. It's a really bad deal, and we agree with the president. The president said let the money go directly to the people in terms of health savings accounts, so patients can control the options, not insurers. That's what we're all about. So, unfortunately, a bill to continue subsidizing Obamacare COVID-era subsidies passed the House. It's in the Senate. Now, there's some negotiations going on in the Senate to maybe have a short-term extension of these subsidies, put some provisions in there to prevent fraud and abuse, because apparently people who are wealthy are allowed to get these subsidies. Look, man, if we got rid of face masks, if we got kids back in the school, if business is operating as usual, why do we still have COVID-era subsidies happening?
Yeah. COVID's done.
Yeah. Well, and as your experts, I mean, back when in the fall when we were broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. in Capitol Hill, I got a chance to catch up with your AFP expert on healthcare. And a CMS report had come out just that very week saying if you extend these subsidies, you're going to see the same thing basically happen with healthcare that took place with electric vehicles. The cost is going to continue to go up, and you're going to have fewer options. And so that's what the Democrats have forced, and now apparently 17 House Republicans caved. They're in the more moderate districts. And so if this gets across the finish line, it's like, okay, well, the costs are going to continue to go up. There's going to continue to be fewer options because Obamacare is a mess. Obamacare is a train wreck. And so, yeah, we're going to have to see what happens in the United States Senate with this deal. But, yeah, we've got to move more towards an approach like what you were talking about, where the money goes into directly to we the people, where you get to keep more of your own money instead of just putting it in the pockets of these big insurance companies that are just going to raise the costs and reduce the options anyway. That's one we're going to have to stay on top of. Henry, about 30 seconds before the break, what else do you want to share before? And then we'll come back to you after the break as well.
That's great. I just want to point out that, in addition, one out of every $5 spent on these COVID subsidies is lost in fraud. One out of every 25%. That's probably a minimum. So we've got to tighten this up. We've got to change the system. And we can talk more about that after the break. But it's time to make a shift.
That's right. That's right. Hold that thought. Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana. We'll come back to him right after this. And then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, the Montana Supreme Court, judicial politics, judicial transparency, judicial reform. We've talked with Henry Kriegel a lot about that. Former University of Montana constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson is with us coming up at the 9 o'clock hour.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Democrats, they have fanned the flames of ICE hatred. They have put everybody at risk. And I've been warning this violent rhetoric is going to lead to one tragedy after another. This is not the end of it because they won't stop. Newsom lashing out at Donald Trump, you know, over all of this. Newsom, you know, sanctuary state, Gavin, who thinks he's going to be president. Okay, we're going to do everything we can to prevent that. By the way, Iran is on the brink of collapsing as well. The Iranian mullahs have had to pull the plug on internet service because they don't want the world to see what's going on. And, of course, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, rumors that he may be bowing out any moment now and getting the hell out.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Listen, if you're still suffering from the Biden-Harris economic hangover and you need to save money, one way you can do it without sacrificing service, you can do it right now, and that is cutting your cell phone bill in half. Make the switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk, for just $20 a month. They will give you unlimited talk and text, 3 gigs of high-speed data on Pure Talk, super fast, nationwide 5G network, the same exact service, and you save a fortune. The average family saves over $1,000 a year. A veteran-led company that shares your values. They believe in giving back to those that serve our great country. And by the way, if you're active military, former military, first responder, you get an additional 20% off every single month. Make the switch. It's simple, fast, easy. Dial #250. Say the keyword save now from our friends at Pure Talk. Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Subsidies for more than 20 million Americans using Obamacare expired recently. Now Democrats are ready to make them the centerpiece of the midterm campaigns. The lapse of enhanced premium tax credits started hitting pocketbooks of voters on January 1st. Democratic lawmakers and strategists are already moving to turn the expiration of the subsidies into a potent election year attack on Republicans. They note that unlike other Democratic messaging targets, the lost tax credits are already tangible proof proof of what's at stake on Election Day. The strategy has been months in the making. Top party leaders decided in September to make health care the focus of the government funding fight. That posture led to a record 43-day government shutdown last fall. However, some Senate Democrats ultimately agreed to reopen the government without securing an extension of the tax credits. Still, many in the party are increasingly confident that they succeeded in putting the issue into focus ahead of the election year. Top GOP leaders have criticized the expiring subsidies as wasteful. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left this hour of the show. Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana. Henry, we've talked about the Montana Supreme Court. We've talked about judicial reform before. But, yeah, Rob Nadelson is going to be covering that from the legal angle in a big way coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. He's written several articles for the Mountain States Legal Foundation. And he's also, you know, has highlighted how the Montana Supreme Court, by the numbers, is basically like the worst in the country. Now, I know Chief Justice Swanson is newly elected. Chief Justice Swanson is really cleaning things up. But anyway, this is just going to, I guess, if you were talking with Rob Nadelson next hour of the show, what would you want to highlight for him, some of the stuff you guys have been working on with AFP Montana?
Well, we had three bills in the last legislative session that would have allowed for judicial candidates to declare their party affiliation, two in the House, one in the Senate, and all three of them failed. Why? Because we had some moderates who voted against that. They voted against allowing voters to have information that was relevant for their vote. They voted against allowing judicial candidates the right to freedom of association, freedom to declare their party affiliation. And as a result, we have a problem because we have lack of information among the voters as to who these judicial candidates are. You've got third-party interests and out-of-state interests funding those who are more progressively oriented, those who like legislating from the bench. And it's been a problem in Montana for many, many years. And so we try to address it with judicial transparency. Now we're going to be up against two constitutional initiatives that are being promoted around the state, trying to get signatures to get on the ballot, which would make it unconstitutional to allow the judicial candidates to declare their party affiliation, at least unconstitutional in the state of Montana. I think it's unconstitutional on a level of the U.S. Constitution, denying judges their right of free association. But we're in a challenging situation here, Aaron. The progressive left knows that the court system is the court of last resort. What they can't win under the dome in Helena in terms of getting their bills passed or defeating our good bills, they will litigate in the courts. And if it does get appealed to the state Supreme Court, they're likely to win. So it makes our life much more difficult to get good, positive, transformational bills and policies enacted in the law under the current situation. So, your next guest is an expert. He's done the research. He's studied it over many years. Rob Nadelson is the expert on it, and I'm glad you're having him on the show.
Yeah, he's great. Constitutional scholar, published author. His research has been cited repeatedly by justices and parties at the U.S. Supreme Court, as well as by federal appellate courts as well, and by at least 18 different state Supreme Courts. So looking forward to having him on here. About a minute to go here. Henry Kriegel, AFP Montana. What else do you want to share with folks across the state?
Just want to let everybody know that we are we'll be launching our 2025 legislative scorecard, and I'll talk to you more about that next Monday. We'll have an online version and we have a printed version. This is a great tool, another great accountability tool to see how your elected officials voted. And you can compare that to their promises made during campaign season. And you'll be surprised. It turns out the judicial reform is one of those defining policies that separates policy champions from those who aren't. So there are a number of them, but that was one key policy area. So we look forward to sharing that with you and our listeners from around the state
next Monday, our legislative scorecard. It is a great accountability tool and an eye-opener.
Very interesting. All right. Well, people will be tuning in for that one because there'll be some specifics that'll be thrown out there. All right, Henry Kriegel, greatly appreciate your time. Thanks again for being with us. By the way, I wanted to mention earlier, check out this headline. DNC, this is from Nonstop Local, DNC tells Montana to expect legal action if state hands over election files. The Dems are threatening to sue again.
Veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water, then stir it with the shovel.
Wow. You sound just like him.
Then he said,
if it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.